One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Today on The Grave Talks, a haunting in Blue Hill, a paranormal mystery. In the heart of rural America's farm fields stands a 120-plus-year-old house in Blue Hill, Nebraska that harbors a secret. When the new owner found a mysterious old wooden box of items in the cellar that contained part of a strange book, a piece of coal, and a very unusual doll, he contacted Alan McGargle and Jesse Morgan to help him investigate the box. That investigation turned into a documentary film, A Haunting in Blue Hill, following a team of paranormal investigators investigating the mysterious finding in the cellar, which led them to make contact with the spirits connected to the box and its items, as well as spirits connected to the home. Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about the film A Haunting in Blue Hill with directors Alan McGargle and Jesse Morgan, along with team members Anna Meyer Evans and Madison Flewelling. We've got four of you on with me today, and I'm going to start with you, Alan. You're the paranormal team lead, and you were behind the scenes writing, directing this film. Can you give me a little background on you and what brought you to the paranormal and your interest in the paranormal? How did that start?
Yeah, so I've been interested in it for a long time. I used to watch the TV shows, back in the 90s and stuff. And I had an opportunity to do an investigation, and I actually grabbed my best friend at the time, which was Jesse, and now part of our team. And we went off and did a little investigation in a haunted place nearby with my dad's old Hi-8 video camera. And we recorded it, and we were just kind of goofing around, didn't know what we were doing. And we got back to my apartment at the time, and we were watching the tape back. There were voices on there that we didn't hear when we were there. And that was the moment that I realized, like, this is real. Like, there's really things happening. So we've sort of had that interest for a long time. And then as we kind of all met each other through the team here, we were able to kind of find that common bond and take that and turn it into Trails of the Unknown and start producing video content. And, it's been a good chance for us to all go out and do what we do together.
Now, Jesse Morgan, I've heard that you are the skeptic in the group. Is that true? Every group needs a skeptic.
Well, that's accurate. I don't think it's a bad word at all.
I don't either. I think every team needs one because
I love that, and I agree. It's it gives you perspective on a situation, and kind of can, you know, help reel. Sometimes, you know, things get intense or exciting, and you want to be able to kind of establish some balance, and maybe even step back a little bit during, you know, if there's activity or something happening at that time. But yeah, that is a fair and accurate statement. I have to calm Alan down quite often, but yeah. So yeah, Alan and I grew up together, couple houses apart, and so we've had, you know, a lot of similarities in kind of the journey and the path we've taken on this as it's kind of evolved over the years. I used to love watching that show In Search Of, and that really kind of, you know, sparked the interest in just things, mysteries of the unknown and, you know, paranormal in general, actually. You know, that has just, you know, it's only just continued to grow over the years as we investigate these things and find out there's a lot of these stories are valid. And so that's what, you know, keeps me going personally anyways. With the skeptical eye.
Would you, and a lot of skeptical people who I've talked to over the years, some of them refer to themselves as a skeptic, and then others say more like a skeptical believer. Would you be in the skeptical believer category or kind of straight skeptic?
No, that's a great question. To quote the famous American Fox Mulder, I like to say I want to believe. I do. For me, it's just... And this is no secret amongst our group. It's like there's more that I need, or I need more to at the very least get to a point where I don't have an answer, or I can't understand it, or it's just something that does fall into that broadly stated, you know, category of paranormal or mysterious or unknown. But really kind of shifted to being almost a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that, you know, there's, you know, levels left and right of it, but really it's all about me just trying to observe a situation and be able to try and assess it with as much as possible, if you will, a neutral approach.
And Anna, you are kind of behind the scenes too in this movie, writer, editor, producer, but you're also a paranormal investigator and sensitive. So what's your story?
So I was always kind of afraid of ghosts until I was older, and my parents booked a trip to the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, which is a very famously haunted hotel. And I was pretty scared the whole time, but for some reason it kind of started this interest in it. And then Madison, actually, we've been friends for a really long time. We started staying at the Stanley Hotel and doing ghost hunts at like the Molly Brown House in Denver. And then once I met Alan, and we started doing all these other investigations. That's kind of when I started paying attention to the sensitive side. I think a lot of people have experiences starting in childhood, but for me, it wasn't until I started really like listening to it and being like, oh, I might be able to have these abilities or follow my intuition during these times when we're ghost hunting. So it was kind of late for me that I discovered that maybe there is something there that I can connect with wherever we're investigating.
Which is interesting because you probably, I'm going to guess, always had that ability, but you were never in a position to be aware of it too.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. Yeah.
Because you have to be in that situation before you can experience it. And then when you're young, you don't always know what that was.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, maybe there was things that were happening to me when I was little, but like, I just didn't know what it was or wasn't paying attention until like, it was like, okay, time to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been a lot easier. So yeah.
And Madison, you are a researcher, which every team needs a good researcher. Hats off for that. And paranormal investigator. Tell me a little about your journey to where you are today.
So as Anna mentioned, we have been friends for a very long time. I'm a little bit of a weird position in the group. The group was formed before I was part of it, but I would like to believe I sort of work with the science and history of the place a little bit. And then I also have some sensitive abilities, like Anna. But I didn't realize, I knew I had abilities in the, let's say, metaphysical, but I didn't classify myself as having any sensitivity whatsoever. I always sort of figured that I overpowered everything that was around me. And so I'm still investigating that side of myself. But yeah, my first experiences with the paranormal really were at the Stanley Hotel with Anna when we were growing up. I think we were like 13 or 14, maybe. Mm-hmm. During that time. So
I do two different ghost / paranormal podcasts. So we have Real Ghost Stories Online, and then we have this one too, The Grave Talks. Mm-hmm. I have talked a lot over the years about my own experiences growing up in a haunted house. So as you can imagine, like, my search history is all paranormal. It's ghost this and that. And so Facebook's always suggesting things to me. So it suggested this film to me, A Haunting in Blue Hill. So I'm like, well, that's an intriguing sounding name. So I immediately look at it. And then when I found out it was Blue Hill, Nebraska, I was like, what? So here's the thing. The town that I grew up in the haunted house, was in a small town in Nebraska, the same size as Blue Hill. And we used to play Blue Hill in sports. So once I figured out it was Blue Hill, Nebraska, I'm like, oh my gosh, I lived in this little town in a haunted house in Nebraska, and here's another haunted house in Nebraska. I thought that was so interesting. So I dove in and watched it right away. Obviously, of course I had to. How did this story end up with you guys? How did they come to you?
So Jesse and I have been doing a lot of, Bigfoot Sasquatch stuff over the last decade, really. We run our own weekend camp out once a year. It's in Colorado. And one of the people that we have helping us is a guy that lives in Estes Park, Colorado, named Kenny Collins. Well, Kenny actually moved out to Nebraska a couple of years ago, and he bought this old farmhouse. And he came back to Colorado to help us with our Bigfoot event, and he says, guys, I got this house and crazy stuff is going on, and long story short, here, I brought this for you. And he gave us these items, and he kind of dragged us into this unwillingly in some ways.
That's how that happened. And the house, by the way, is beautiful. I mean, it's a very large 120 plus year old, looks like maybe at one time was a farmhouse.
Yeah.
In Nebraska.
Yeah, and Kenny's really good with carpentry and stuff, and he's done some work on the inside that's, you know, restorative, and it's a beautiful place.
Before we get to what this story is really about, was he experiencing some paranormal activity in the house before he found what he found in the cellar?
He was. He was having some things, like he was saying, like shadow, child-sized shadows passing by him and things like that. But it wasn't until he was working down in the cellar beneath the house, and he was trying to do some structural updates and things, so some pretty big construction-type stuff, that things really started to churn up, and that's when he found the items, which were in a room down in that cellar.
So, Jesse, do you want to talk about these items? Because I found them quite fascinating. That these items happen to be together in a box.
Yeah, definitely. So you've got, well, first of all, it really starts with the room itself. You know, what we've referred to as the painted door, which kind of oversimplifies it, to be honest. The door itself has an incredibly intricate pattern painted on it. I think two distinct colors on it. And we've had varying opinions on what that represents. I'm not really going to dive into that. I'll let people, if it's all right with you, kind of just watch the film to get some insight from a few different people on
Absolutely.
That. But so the door itself actually is the first piece. And then inside what would have been that room, there is an old you know, maybe 15 by 8 size wooden box, something that at some point would have been used to, I forget the name that was on it at the moment, but anyways, it was like a farm. So it was probably used to carry some kind of produce, but definitely old. And within that though was a piece of coal, which was very interesting because it was definitely set there with a purpose. And the reason I say that, because it was in the box with the doll. That was very interesting itself, but that alone would have been a very fascinating story to tell. However, there was also a book inside. Well, really, it was about half of a book in German that I believe, if we recall, was printed probably in the 1880s or 50s. Yeah. So those items together were enough when Kenny showed them to us to spark an incredible amount of interest, and that combined with what he had said he was experiencing in the house itself. So I think if, you know, anyone that has been exposed to anything paranormal, whether it was on TV or just personal experiences, would see those things together, would have been like, okay, there's some purpose, some intent with this. This wouldn't have been just randomly placed together inside what was a room once.
And he had gone down into the cellar and done some renovations, I think, by the time the filming started. Was that actually in a kind of a room by itself, or was it behind the door, or how was it that he found it?
So originally there was a wooden room that had these very old, almost like old siding from a house that made up the walls of this room. And the painted door was the door to that room. So when he went into that room, that's where there was a dresser, and this was tucked away in one of the shelves in that dresser. So they got the items out of the house. His wife wanted them out, and then
I'm going to interject here. I don't blame her. I would have wanted them out of the house as well. Right.
So he put that out in the garage until he could get it to me, and then they tore apart that room so that the room is gone. And by the time we got on site, the only thing that was left was the door.
And in the film, so you have this box of these, it's kind of a bizarre little collection of things, really.
Yeah.
And then when Madison, I think it's you see it, you kind of had a reaction. Like it wasn't like, oh, anything like that. But it was like, it kind of jolted you a little bit when you saw it.
I wouldn't say it necessarily jolted me, but I never felt any animosity off of the doll or anything. It just sort of was like, huh, this is interesting. But I never personally felt anything negative from interacting.
Then maybe what I was seeing as a viewer was seeing maybe more of a surprise.
Yeah, I think you saw like curiosity, curiosity, intrigue, but never fear with this one.
That's what I found interesting about this. Now, number one, because I do react to things, and I would have just seen that and I'd have been like, I'm going the other way. You guys deal with that. But you all stepped up, and you've got opinions in the film from several people who kind of connected with not just the doll, but the items in the box. And I found that really interesting, and it seemed like there was kind of there was definitely some consistency to what people were experiencing. I found that really interesting.
Yeah, we set out to try to get as many opinions as we could because, you know, for one, we weren't really sure what we had and what to do with it, because depending on what it was, there's drastically different things you would want to do. So it was important to us to get that. And then the more we started to do that, the more sort of variety of opinions, and I felt like I kept needing to get more. So we were able to find some people that were fairly local, and they were actually great resources for us and showed well in the film too.
And something else that was interesting is, like, initially we had some people look at it from photos, and those people all had a very negative reaction to the doll. But the people who actually saw the doll in person had kind of the opposite feeling about it. So that was really interesting.
That is really interesting. Because it almost seems like it would maybe be the other way around. But these are people who have experience with haunted dolls and objects. And, you know, they're not just like me. I would just go, oh, that's a haunted doll. I can tell by looking at it. But they don't.
Right. So Carrie Bergen and Rebecca Blackburn are both Colorado folks. And they actually have their own haunted doll collections, and they make sort of the spooky dolls and sell those. But they're very very versed in the haunted doll collections for sure.
Now, when you all went to start doing some research, there's a scene where Jesse Allen and Madison, y'all sit down together with the box of items, and then talk about the investigative tools that you used in that scene, because there was one part you're using the spirit box and you are really communicating with someone or some people.
So I've been using the spirit box for a long time and I've gotten really, really good results for it. So it's one of my go-to things. But, you know, we had the standard stuff. We had some EMF detection and that and a couple other things. That we actually used an SLS a little bit, but that didn't make it on camera. We were able to make a connection to that fairly quickly, and to all of our surprise, because I think we were all kind of just turning the camera on, hoping for the best, not knowing what was going to happen, just as we do with most investigations, and it worked out really well.
I thought it was really interesting as a viewer, a lot of times when people pick up things on the spirit box, maybe I can hear it. You know, and then they'll say, oh, did you hear it? It said, get out. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. In this case, at one point, it says safe. And I honestly thought it was a person in the room who said that.
Yeah.
But when I watched your reactions to that, I was like, oh, that wasn't a person in the room. It was that clear.
Yeah. And we've had a few of those now in different investigations where it's just so clear that our reaction ended up being pretty much like that. Because to your point, most of the time it's almost like, did I hear what I think I heard? And, you know.
And everyone feels like they heard something, but not necessarily everyone heard the same thing. Or you have to replay it from the audio. We were very lucky to have some very set words said over the spirit box for this investigation.
Anna, as a researcher going into this project, what was kind of your approach? What information did you want, background information did you want from Kenny, maybe on the house, the people who had lived there? And I'm sure everybody kind of dove into this project, but I'll start with you, Anna. What kind of information did you want to know?
So we should direct that towards Madison. She's the one that did.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Madison.
No, it's totally fine. So I didn't have the opportunity to interact with Kenny directly, but things that I did want to know about were, how old was the book? How old was the doll? We tried to figure some of that out. I wanted to know what the English translation of the book was, because as we mentioned, the book was in German. It was later translated to English, so we were able to find an English translation and find out a little more about what the book was about, because it did definitely have some imagery that seemed to tie it back to the doll, but it wasn't very clear. So getting the translation was very important. Finding out how old the doll was, because how old the doll was, it seemed like the newest piece of the whole collection out of everything. It was only decades old versus the Cole, which was really un-time. We weren't able to tell how old that was, and the crate, which looked very old but also harder to tell the time frame that was from. The book is very old, as I believe Anna mentioned. So the doll was really our cutoff point for that. So that gave us a lot more of an idea as to when this group of items came together and potentially what it was brought together for. If that
And wasn't it you,
sense.
Madison, who you were looking at the doll, and as you were holding it up, you turned it around and discovered that it wasn't stitched by hand, mm-hmm. which I assumed, looking at the doll, it would have been.
It definitely looked like it was made by machine, yes. Mm-hmm. That was one of the components. There was also some possible elastic in it. I also wanted to know if it was mass marketed. So were there other ones online? So we did a Google search on that. And the fact that the dress was stitched onto the doll as opposed to it being made removable, which is a more common fad now for a lot of dolls.
And what about looking into the history of the home? Did you feel like that was important to look at the history of the home itself and former residents of the home? Because obviously somebody had put this in the basement for some reason.
Yeah, so I never had the opportunity to go to the home, but Alan and Jesse really spearheaded that investigation into the home, the previous resident.
We worked very closely with Kenny and his wife, and we were able to find out. You know, they actually bought the house from Ruby, who we believe is one of the spirits involved. And I did some calling around, talked to the courthouse and things, and tried to trace down as much as I could, and mostly was hit with dead ends. So a lot of it didn't make the film because it really wasn't of interest. There was a lot of going nowhere.
And does Ruby have, it seemed like it's said in the film that Ruby, who had lived in the house before and had died in the house, I believe.
Yes.
She still has living relatives. Were you able to talk to them, or did you think that you needed to?
Yeah, that was the big dilemma. How far do we go with this? You know, so we did decide not to do that, not to go down that path, and kind of leave that alone. I don't know. We weren't sure where this was going to go, so we were very sensitive, at least early on, as to what we might uncover when we go through this, because, you know, to your point, when we talked before this started, it seemed to be going in quite a different direction as it started.
And also when we first premiered the movie, there was people that came who lived in Blue Hill, and they were like, when we talked to them afterwards, they loved it, but they were also nervous about where we were going with it.
Yeah,
and
they were,
you know,
they were people that knew, yeah. Ruby. That came to the premiere.
And I wanted to ask about that because in a town that size, word got out fast that there's something going on at the old, I don't know historically what they refer to that house as in that town, but Ruby's old house.
Right.
And so I'm sure word gets out because when I was a kid, people knew I lived in, and I'm using air quotes, the haunted house. Because the reputation of the house probably preceded Kenny buying it, is my guess. So did you get any other stories from the locals about the house?
No, I think it's quite different than what you would think. We were able to kind of get this done under the radar because I don't think there was that. There didn't seem to be that impression that things were going on there. I really think it was pretty quiet, and I think the reason for that was that the family that lived there before Kenny bought it went to what we believe to be pretty great lengths to keep that stuff contained. That's what it looked like to us with the room and the box and the coal and all these other things. So I really don't, I think it was sort of a secret that we uncovered.
And the previous tenants had lived there quite a while. It wasn't like somebody or had somebody before Kenny lived there just a couple years.
No, I think Ruby and her family, I don't remember the exact time frame, but they have been there a long time, maybe since the 70s, I think. Late 60s, early 70s. So they were there, you know, 40 years.
So it seems like the box and its contents would have been placed there by someone in her family.
And that's the only logical conclusion we have, yeah.
Yeah, there's I mean, this is a little bit of a ancillary bit to this main story, but because it ties in a little bit with the original question, but there are potential other threads that we could pull on and continue to look into. It's just the depth and the amount of research, and then we would have to go into, and also we'd have to engage and involve, you know, more locals into that, because, and I think we talk about it at some point, but the name on the book itself, you know, there were two brothers, almost identical names, and this is more like a teaser, but you know, there's a story there. We just don't know exactly where it will go, because it involves two brothers, almost identical names, trying to figure out how their names are on that book that ended up in Ruby's home. And that ties into a whole bunch of other potential things involving, religion and maybe what, you know, someone was following, but that's the, that's kind of why we, you know, alluding to what Alan said, why we kind of felt at some point, okay, we've got a good story to tell here. Let's just go ahead and kind of stop it here and go from there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're working on bringing this to Nebraska and doing a screening there. And I think, you know, depending on the reaction there, maybe there's more, maybe there's a part two, you know, if the family sees this and they want to, you know,
that
give
would
us
be
some more information, and then that's fine. If they want to yell and scream at us, then that's fine too.
Does that make you nervous screening it there?
It does, but like Anna mentioned, there were two people that were neighbors that came all the way from Nebraska to Estes Park where we had our premiere, and they had really, really good things to say about it. So we feel like we did a good job handling that sensitive part of the story.
And you didn't give out personal information about Ruby and her family or anything like that.
Right.
And that wraps up part one of our conversation about A Haunting in Blue Hill. You can watch the film on Amazon Prime, and you can also get more information on Trails to the Unknown and watch some of their other films at trailstotheunknown.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, you'll get everything commercial free. Become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.